Little baby Jesus grew and grew and grew and grew all around the world,
just like he loves me and you and you.
Were little Christmas candles. Were little Christmas candles
glowing in the night,
trying to remember
Jesus is our light.
At Christmas time and all the year,
we are trying with all our might
to shine for Jesus everywhere
by doing what is right.
I am the light. I need your help rounding up some signs.
No problem. Signs are everywhere.
Oops. One second. Can we start back? I won't blow the whistle again. Sorry. All right. Lauren, start again.
What's up?
I need your help. Oh, yeah, I need your help rounding up some signs.
No problem. Signs are everywhere.
Come on up. But these have to be signs that tell the Christmas story.
The Christmas story? But there aren't any signs in the Christmas story.
Well, probably not. But I thought if we rounded up the right signs, people around here, like these guys all out here, they might get the real meaning of the Christmas. And that's God's gift of a Savior to the world.
Good idea. But where do we find signs that remind us of the birth of a Savior?
Well, they're all around you. In fact, check this out.
That's not a Christmas sign.
Well, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem.
And so did a lot of other people.
Right. And when they got there, they couldn't find a place to stay. And they needed a place because Mary was going to have a baby.
I get it. The innkeeper probably put out a no vacancy sign.
Exactly. But even with a no vacancy sign in the window, God prepared a special place. And he prepared that place for the Savior of the world to be born. No vacancy was the first of many Christmas signs. Now, spread out and see what other Christmas signs you can find. Okay, line up. Did you find a sign? Well, hold them up. Let me see your signs. Everybody, show them to everybody. Well, how do these tell the Christmas story?
Jesus was born, so Mary and Joseph had a new baby in the family.
Hold it up.
And whenever there's a new baby around, we have to be extra quiet.
Why?
Because babies sleep a lot.
Put them in this one. What's wrong?
I've looked everywhere. I can't find a Christmas sign.
Well, don't give up yet. I'm sure you'll find one somewhere.
I'm not so sure, but I'll keep looking.
Wow, that's a great sign.
Whenever you see this sign, you know there are sheep in the area.
Well, and shepherds. When there's sheep, there's shepherds. You know, the shepherds were the first people to hear about the Savior.
I can't imagine spending sleepy night watching in a field watching sheep.
I can't either. Yeah, because it could get pretty sleepy at night, couldn't it? Here we go.
Bring it on. A little to the left. Careful. Okay, right here.
Well, what are these for?
To protect your eyes from bright light. The angels that announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds were surrounded by bright light.
So the shepherds didn't have a sleepy night in the field after all.
Nope. Their sleepy night had a few surprises.
Exactly.
Now, can you please join us in singing this next song?
Beep, beep.
Sing?
Sing.
I get it. The angels started to
sing.
And then the shepherds started to
sing.
And when we hear about the news of Jesus and born as our Savior, we should
sing.
I will sing. Get your gold, get your frankincense, get your myrrh. Only $2, wise man souvenirs, get them while they're hot.
I'm not sure this is quite what I had in mind.
Just kidding. The wise men needed two directions to find Jesus. God gave them a sign, a star, and the star led them to a manger in Bethlehem. Oh, yes.
What? Still no sign?
Nope, I was thinking.
Thinking about what?
The perfect sign. The angel told the shepherds there would be a sign.
You know, you're right. The sign would be that they would find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
That's the sign we need to find for Christmas.
It's not right.
It's two.
It's not.
It's two.
It's not.
It's two.
What's all the fighting about?
We decided that we need a sign that invites everybody to the manger. This is from the famous old Christmas song, O Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful, and Triumphant.
That's too stuffy. Y'all Come says it better.
Does not.
Does two.
Does not.
Does two.
The whole idea here is that everybody gets the idea that they are invited, right? They both said you're welcome to come in their invitation. They just say it in different ways. But you all agree that everyone is invited to the Christmas celebration, right?
Right.
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 Come adore the Savior, the promised one.
birth of a Savior is good news, and we need help to get the good news out so the whole world knows about Jesus.
You're right. We found signs that remind us of the meaning of Christmas, but they're not doing us any good in the box. So we need your help to get these signs out and the good news to the world. Let's get busy. So you guys need to get busy and stand up and sing this song with us.
At this time, we have an opportunity to worship with our offering to give back as the Lord has blessed us. So as we receive our offering this morning, please also take the friendship binders, pass them, fill them out, and pass them from the middles to the outside. Please give as the Lord has blessed you.
Thank you. All right, I've got some good news and some bad news. Actually, I've got some good news and some really good news. The good news is that we're still going to have a message this morning. The really good news is I talked to Laura earlier in the week, and she told me I'd have 10 minutes. So we got that all squared away. I do want to spend some time this morning, again, reinforcing what that second group of kids said, is that there are signs around us that point us to Jesus, and that in this Christmas season, we can't lose track of Christ. And I'm not the sharpest guy in the, not the sharpest tool in the shed. And sometimes I need to hear things one, two, three times, but I really feel like I've seen and been told not to lose Christ this Christmas season. And so I want to pass that on to you this morning, just real quickly. And I want to do that using Luke 2. Now, when you hear Luke 2, you think of the birth of Christ, right? But the second half of Luke 2 talks about the boy Jesus at the temple. The boy Jesus at the temple. And I'm going to read just a few verses, starting at verse 41, if you want to follow along. Every year, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the elders, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So I want to take four things from that passage this morning to talk about not losing Christ in Christmas. And so the first thing I want to point out is that Jesus' parents lost him. Verse 43, after the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. And I want to talk about what losing Jesus means this morning, because when I talk about losing Jesus, I'm not talking about losing your faith in God or your faith in Jesus. Because I truly believe that once you've been saved, once you've truly been saved, that nobody can snatch you out of God's hand. And so what I'm talking about this morning is not losing your faith, but maybe losing the closeness of your relationship with Him. If you look at Mary and Joseph losing Jesus, their relationship with Jesus didn't change. They were still his parents. They were still his parents. Now this is going to be a moment of truth for you guys. And this might cause some marital tension. And especially I'll ask the guys, have you ever lost your kids for a little while? Yeah, I saw one hand go up. Anybody else? I have. Yeah, I see a number of hands going up. Mine was at Adventureland. And I had my two kids, and then they were with two friends, and they all decided to run ahead to a ride. And it wasn't that far away, so I said, go ahead. I was walking right behind, and while we get there, and I'm standing at the fence because I don't go on those kids' rides because they're the worst. I'm standing there, and I count. I see one, two, three boys, no girls. And instantly, panic, right? Panic. Because I lost Finley for a while. But my relationship with Finley didn't change. I was still her parent. When you lose Jesus, when you lose your focus on Jesus, if you lose Christ during this Christmas season, it doesn't mean that he ceases to be your Savior. It just means that you're not walking with him, and I want to encourage you in that this morning. Second thing, it can happen to anyone. I mean, it was Jesus' folks that lost him. If it can happen to Jesus' parents, it can happen to me. It can happen to you. It's not hard to get wrapped up in the festive celebration and miss the signs that point to Jesus. I think that's why in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Be on your guard this Christmas season to remember why we're celebrating it. The third thing I want to draw out is that you can lose him anywhere. You can lose Jesus anywhere and in anything. Look at Mary and Joseph. Where were they? Verse 41, where were they? They were in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. They were there to celebrate Jesus, right? The Passover, foreshadowing Jesus, where the angel of death passed through Egypt, where the Israelites were, and he passed over the Israelite families because they had sprinkled the blood of a sheep on the doorpost. You can lose Jesus anywhere, in anything. You can lose him in your work. You can lose him in your family. You can lose him in your hobbies. You can lose him in religion. You can get so caught up in the do's and the don'ts, in the wills and the won'ts, that you forget what really matters. And I thought Larry Vanderay last week talked so well about being centered on Jesus and not religion, and the difference between Jesus and the difference between religion, because there absolutely is a difference. And you can lose Jesus anywhere, and you can lose Jesus everywhere. The fourth thing, if you want to get that closeness back with Jesus, if you want to get that relationship back to where it was, you need to go back to where you lost Jesus. When I lost Finley for that, it seemed like 3 hours, it was probably a minute to two. I didn't go from the whatever ride we were on. It was the one with the little balloons that goes forward and backwards and up and down. You guys know that ride? Tell you what, the first time we went to Adventureland, my kids wanted to go on that ride, so I got on that ride with them. I was sick the rest of the day. So this time we went to that ride, and I didn't go on it. And then we walked to that little ride that's a circle that spins, okay? Seems like they're all that, I know, but it's the one where you sit in a big line. So anyway, we went to that ride, and that's where I lost Finley. I didn't start going to the log ride to look for Finley. I didn't go get on the sky glider and go to the other side of the park to look for Finley. I went back to that stupid balloon ride and looked for Finley. Mary and Joseph, when they realized they didn't have Jesus, and I love this, because you read it, it says, they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Doesn't sound very worried, do they? They began looking for him. You know what, when I lost Finley, I was frantic. I was walking as fast as I could, nearly running, until I finally found her. If you want to find that relationship back with Jesus, go back to where you lost him. Go back to where you lost him. If work has become too busy, that you've lost your relationship with God, go back and look at your work and ask yourself that hard question. If you're spending too much time there, if it's too much of your focus, if it's your hobbies, go back and reprioritize your life. If it's your family, go back to your family and realize that they've become too important in your life and that they're taking the focus away from Jesus. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, as I've been encouraged over the last day, week, month, that this Christmas season, commit to keeping your focus on Jesus. Jesus, who came to this earth, whose birthday we celebrate this month, he came to this earth to be human like you and like me. He came to this earth to walk like we walk, to talk like we talk, to be tempted like we're tempted. But he never sinned. Not only didn't sin, he was punished for our sins. He was hung on a tree. He was killed. He was sacrificed for us, so that we might have eternal life. And so as we celebrate Christmas this year, don't lose the focus on Christ and pointing to Easter of next year. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I thank you so much for Sundays, a chance to get together and worship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank you for everybody here this morning. I thank you for bringing us out, for letting us see kids use the gifts you've given them to sing, to recite lines, to act, all for your honor and glory, God, to remind us of the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, I just pray this morning that you will bless everybody here, that you will be near to them, that as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we'll remember what that means. Lord, there are people here that are struggling right now. Well, Christmas may not be a very, very happy time. I just ask that you will give them strength, that you will give them encouragement, that they will feel near to you. For those recovering, Lord, from illnesses or sicknesses or cancer, Lord, I just pray that you will bless them, that you will encourage them. For those who are rehabbing, Lord, who are learning to do things over again, I just pray that you will encourage them and give them endurance and strength and commitment, and they will see progress, Lord, and be encouraged. Please bless this day. Please bless this season, Lord, and we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for sending Jesus to be born in this world, to work out your plan so that he might die for our sins. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Couple of announcements. Well, if we just have everybody who was involved in the Sunday school program this year just stand for a brief moment so we could just say thank you. So if you were involved in the Sunday school program, the adults I'm thinking about, sorry kids, we can have you stand too. We'll clap for you too. But the adults that were involved in the Sunday school program, if you just stand for a moment, if you were involved. All right, let's give them a thank you. All right, kids, why don't you stand too? We'll say thank you to you for using your gifts for us. One other announcement. Listen up. There is no Sunday school this morning, all right? So your kids do not have Sunday school this morning, but they need to go to their Sunday school room for just a brief moment after the service. So as soon as we're done, send your kids to the Sunday school room, but there is no Sunday school. Everybody got that one? Got to go to the room, but no Sunday school. All right, will you rise for our benediction? Comes from the book of Jude. Jude starting at verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Rise, my fear. should know if you're sitting there.
Surprises me because he's so shy. If you talk to a person one on one, you don't put him on stage.
And start dancing.